Bell here with Matt Dahl, founder and CEO of ARPG Investment Management, ARPG Intelligent Investment, as you can see. Matt, good to see you, my friend.
Good morning. Happy Friday. Happy Memorial Day. Happy three-day weekend Friday.
Happy three-day weekend. My kids, it was officially their very last day of school. Well, they had last day of school was yesterday, and then they had the award ceremony this morning. So they're rocking and rolling for the summer. So I guess it is officially, unofficially summer. It doesn't technically start till mid-June, or late June, actually. But we'll count it for now. So happy Memorial Day. So we kind of fast-tracked our pre-production call here about 5 minutes ago, and you said this is a really hated rally we have going on right now. That sounds like a great talking point to get us started.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, you know, we've seen this never-ending parade of people come on waiting for, you know, the next shoe to drop. We've been seeing, what we keep hearing is, well, the market went too far. The market got too over-optimistic when Trump paused the tariffs, okay? Especially in light of what happened this morning with him announcing 50% tariffs on the EU because those trade negotiations have gone nowhere, okay? In addition to the 25% tariffs on Apple if they don't make their phones here, okay?
Right.
So, you know, we kind of saw the market get moved basically 18% in a pretty short period of time, okay? From April 8th all the way through May 11th. And I don't think it got stretched in the long term, but it did move pretty far, pretty fast. Okay. And of course, what does that mean? That means the market overshot when it went down. Obviously, again, there was this talk of this never ending recession. We talked about this last time in regards to economists and what they think. And there's these people that live on sentiment data, right? And they have these inherent beliefs that there's going to be a recession. When the hard data doesn't show that, and the economists, that's all they do all day, every day, is study hard data and then develop their likely outcomes based on that data, and they're very good at it, don't necessarily have the same predictions that sort of your run of the mill up and down the street folks are having. In fact, I did not know this, so take this for what it's worth, but last time we talked about Jan Hatzius from Goldman Sachs. They had a 45% chance of recession, and we thought he would lower that to 35%. Well, he did. However, he lowered it prior to us saying that. I did not know that, but he actually had lowered it, I want to say, because that was on the 16th. He lowered it on the 13th, about 2 or 3 days before. Okay.
Way to call your shot after the fact, by the way. Isn't that a great way to look brilliant?
I did a great job of predicting the past. I did a great job of saying he could already do this when he clearly did it like 2 or 3 days before that. So, okay. See, that's how awesome.
You got it. Hey, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Right. Exactly. You know, but again, you look at Yardeni, he came out this morning, you know, he lowered it. He lowered recession odds to 25% from 35%. Yardeni's he's kind of a bullish guy. And I frankly dig that about him. He's, you know, he looks through all the noise. He looks through all the pessimism. He always does that. Yardeni is a hard data guy. He's not a soft data guy. He's not a sentiment guy. He's a hard data guy. And this is where you're starting to see this we're starting to see a widening of the delta, this bifurcation of sentiment versus actual hard data. And then the inference that each group is taking on as a result, like what people think that there's going to be recession and it's imminent. And there's people who are saying, no, the chances of recession are actually going down. So, and you can see it's that sentiment, that negative sentiment that has caused just this hated rally. I mean, short positions, the short positions is 2.3% on the S&P 500. It's about the highest in 5.5 years. Okay. People are just really short the market right now. We had a spike this week, especially after the Moody's downgrade. The Moody's downgrade did cause a bit of a global bond sell-off, right? But I think it was largely priced in. I mean, we had the big downgrade in 2011. Then we had one on August 1st of 2023. That was from Fitch. We had S&P in 2011. We had Fitch in 2023, and Moody's was the last one to kind of go. So a lot of that was kind of priced in. It did send the 10-year to 4.6 intraday. It sent the 20-year to 5.12. Okay, and right then you could really start to see that kind of 4.5, 4.55, 4.6, That's when the redhead showed up and she kicked door in. Okay. She did. She's like, I'm home and I'm in a bad mood. So, and you can see that's when the equities really start to say, okay, the bond market's starting to run the show again here. The bond market's starting to run the show again. We're going to start backing off. And they started backing up. And you can see for the last couple of days, as yields have moved down a little, there's been a direct negative correlation to the equity side up until this morning with the EU announcement on the tariffs.
Which bond market is driving the market right now? And I apologize as we're having this. I'm having technical difficulties. My beautiful background just disappeared. So I'm going to shrink myself over here to the small corner of the screen and just kind of hang out. But which bond market is driving it right now? Because we always, the 10-year gets the attention, right? That's the most popular, that's the S&P 500 of market rates that people tend to follow. But the 10-year is somewhat related to what the Fed is doing, or it's pretty closely related to that. And what the Fed is dictating is typically on the shorter end of the curve. So which market is, well, we've talked about good girlfriend, bad girlfriend. We've also talked about
I'm having a terrible hair day.
Boy, you've got ADD today.
I'm having a
terrible hair day. You're having a bad hair day. I'm having a bad tech day. We're just, this is maybe one of our worst visual presentations that we've put on the intelligent.
I think we're just excited to start a 3-day weekend.
Maybe in a hurry to get it started. We're jumping the gun on that. So which is driving right now? I mean, we talked about the bond market being the more sophisticated, intelligent college roommate too, and the equity market being kind of the party. Which specific bond market is the party animal equity market cheating off of right now?
Well, it's the treasury. It's always the treasuries, right? Yeah. And we saw the entire curve lift. We saw that middle to end of the curve really start to rise. That's where it really lifted, right? We saw the 20-year go to 512. We saw that, you know, the 30-year is about 515. The 10-year didn't get anywhere near where it gets scary. Where it gets scary is 475 into 5, and there's a big psychological level at 5%, right? At 5%, okay, that's when we see the multiple on the S&P really start to contract. Although the high that we got to in October of 2023 was 5.15, okay? But when you start to look through that and you start to say, okay, what this is sort of a kind of a sell the news event, you know? I think it was somewhat priced in, but you know, the treasury market saw that, you know, and they sold off. I think we kind of knew it was coming based on the deficit from the big beautiful bill or whatever it was. Okay. There could be some political leanings inside of Moody's that led to that. There's discussions of that. I don't know. It could be anything. But you know, again, if you always zoom out, okay. What are the corporate bond guys saying, right? What are they saying in high yield, right? High yield spreads at 332. It's nowhere. It hasn't spiked at all. It's gone, you know, I mean, it's down significantly from where it was. I think at 4.66% in early April. So it's kind of living in the low threes. It hasn't really gone anywhere much higher than about 3.5 since it kind of pulled back. So it's, you know, and we really don't start to worry about high yield spreads until they get over about 6, you know, on the treasuries to high yield, not the triple C's, you know, we start to look at that when it goes over about 12. But you know, it's sitting at 6. And I'm sorry, it's sitting at 3.32. So there's no signal we're getting from the high yield market as far as the bond side. So, you know, your high yield stress debt side, we're not seeing that. So although we saw the treasuries move, and that has that will move markets in the short term, as far as the likelihood or the probability of a massive contraction economically, you know, I kind of look to more of my sensitive areas of the corporate bond side, the corporate credit, which is your high yield and your triple C's, and that's not showing any sign of distress, none whatsoever, you know. And here's the other thing is, if things are so bad, you know, we had home sales coming for April, right? They absolutely just beat every consensus by a lot. I mean, the sale of new single family homes rose 11% last month to 743,000 from 670,000 in March. Okay. So people aren't all that, you know, dour, like maybe some of the naysayers think they should be. You know, albeit savings rates are down from where they were in pandemic. So we have less savings chasing these bonds, which I think is a big reason for the general rise in yields. Okay. But we're not seeing, you know, if there was going to be an economic collapse, you know, why aren't people running to the bond market? Why isn't the 10-year sitting at 2.75% instead of 4.5%? Right? Why is the Fed, again, and we've talked about this before, why is the Fed, who, you know, I have a tremendous amount of faith in, okay, why are they saying, why are they not signaling they're going to lower rates immediately? You know, we still think they're going to lower rates, call it three times this year. We'll probably get a July, October, and a December cut, okay? But if they thought there was an imminent chance of economic contraction, okay, of course they'd be signaling that. Of course they'd be letting the bond market know that they're really looking at it. We're not seeing any distress in labor. We're not seeing, you know, jolts drop below one. We're not seeing, you know, we're not seeing new jobs, you know, fall below 120,000 a month. We're not seeing any of that. So, and of course the Fed knows that, and the Fed has signaled. In fact, Goolsbee came out this morning, and he's a pretty dovish guy. I think he's one of the better ones too. He said, you know, they're gonna wait to cut based on this trade uncertainty, and I can understand why. I think I still think they're restrictive, and from my little office here in Las Vegas, I think they should be starting to normalize that policy rate, get it closer to where kind of PCE and CPI live, which is in that 2.5% range right now. So I don't think it. I mean, if they cut 50 basis points from here, would it matter? No, I don't think it would. But what you're seeing is you're seeing the Fed be very, very careful with what they're doing. I think they might end up being late if they don't kind of, you know, get going here pretty soon. However, they're not signaling. What they're not saying is they're not saying we have to cut because we're starting to see all of these warning signs in the economy, which would cause us to throw accommodation to it.
So you had your little brief ADD moment. I'm going to have mine now. Do you intentionally wear a shirt that exactly matches your background? Your shirt matches the lower part of your background perfectly. Is that an intentional effort on your part, or is that just a coincidence?
Well, it was a coincidence today. Going forward, it will be intentional. I hope to be nothing but just a floating head here.
I mean, honestly, between the perfectly matched navy shirt and then the back of your chair when it creeps out once in a while perfectly matches the brown, the wood grain but around the logo there. So, I mean, it's like you I don't think that there's anything that I could do on my end that could visually help you color coordinate any better than what you've done right there in your own personal little studio there. So hats off to you, whether it was on purpose or not.
Your background and shirt reminds me of a gloomy day in Ireland. Not that I've ever been there. It's gray. You have a gray background. You have a gray shirt on.
It started off perfectly until the background went away. But yeah, I try to color coordinate as best as I can. The gray shirt matches the navy blue a little bit better than some of the other shirts could.
I thought you'd be like a 3-day weekend in North. I mean, there'd be like pineapples and bongos on a Hawaiian shirt.
No, I got a tea time in 3 hours, so I'm just ready for. I'm getting through this. We'll do. I've got a little bit more editing to do, and then I'm hitting the golf course for the rest of the evening. So I'm just getting a jump start on that. So anyway, I totally digress. I have, I might be putting you a little bit on the spot here, but I'm just listening to everything that you said. I'm looking at the market. I'm looking at the returns lately. You've kind of stuck to, and I don't know if you can correct me exactly on the range, but somewhere around 6,000 to 6,100, you seem to become, I think the word you used was cautiously bullish. When it gets down to, you know, 53, you become very bullish. You've talked about your target range for the end of the year being somewhere, I think, in the 61, 62 range, unless there are triggers that you've said could take it higher than that. But taking that on one side of it, historically speaking, the summer months are fairly quiet. There seems to be a pretty equal, the bears and the bulls seem to be pretty evenly matched right now in this tug of war, right? There's a lot of, there is a bullish case, there's a bearish case, and they seem to be tugging back and forth pretty evenly there. Could you see, it sort of just being a quiet summer lull over the next little bit? Or are there any catalysts on the horizon that you think could take us to 5,000 or 6,500?
Well, I mean, yeah, we've got the world's biggest bull in the world's biggest China shop right now. That's Trump. Okay. He could announce, you know, a 150% tariff on China if the negotiations don't go the way he wants to go. And if that happens, and he could announce a global tariff of some, you know, high restrictive amount, that could cause markets to absolutely go sideways. He's not a predictable guy, you know. In fact, I was kind of walking around my neighborhood last night, and these people that we know, they came with me. So they said, you know, wow, you were right about the market coming back in April and May. And I said, yeah, that's what I do. So, I said, well, you know, the market, honestly, it got a little ahead of itself the last couple week or so. It went pretty far, pretty fast. Not that it didn't deserve to be there, but it just got there in a hurry. So it's going to pull back like it always does. But you know, it's starting to pull through that now. So we should see the market recover into all time highs, probably into the summer, but it won't be some parabolic spike that just moves, you know, super fast. I think it'll be sort of a melt up, if that makes sense. And then I said, you know, the market should go up. I said, the market should go up tomorrow. I didn't say it should. I said, the market will go up tomorrow. And then everything looked fine. And then of course I woke up this morning with 50%, you know, tariffs, and the market was down. So, you know, you just don't know. So, you know, back to your fundamental, you know, the fundamentalist, right? I'm the fundamentalist. Is okay. Here we are again. It's May 22nd, and we are 2.5% down on earnings estimates from end of January on the
S&P. It's May 23rd, by the way.
May 23rd. It's May 23rd. We are 2.5%, 2.47% down from the estimates from end of January on earnings for S&P for 2025, and we're only down, you know, we're down 2.8% on NASDAQ. Okay, now 2026 isn't even that much. So we haven't seen this 15-20% cave in earnings growth. We haven't seen, you know, the 10-year rise over 4.75 or 5%. And again, if you look historically, the S&P runs at its highest multiple between 3-5%. Now, back to the bad girlfriend. So we know there's a sweet spot for her, okay? But right now she's starting to get a little ornery, and she's staying out too late, and she's drinking with her friends, and she's got some friends, I think, that are guys, right?
Oh boy.
Because this is getting like 4.6%. That's when yo, you got to stop doing this. If you keep going down this road, we're going to have to talk about it. Okay.
5% looks like 3 a.m.
It looks like she went to church, and because it was down to 4.50 today.
You said just for reference, you said 5% is where that's like 3 a.m. and we've got problems, right? 5% is the big trouble.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 5%. She's coming home, you know, and all of her lipstick's worn off and she smells like cigars.
Yeah.
And she doesn't smoke cigars.
Yeah, that's a bad sign. That's a bad sign. But 4.75 is uncomfortable.
Somebody drops her off in a Trans Am.
Hey, I mean, Burt Reynolds and back in the day, I mean, there were some cool dudes driving Trans Ams. But that is a little concerning for the bad girlfriend, I guess. So, what? By the way, I lost my train of thought again there. You're going to miss some. I understand you're going to make some mistakes once in a while, but the date. I mean, come on, you can look at a calendar and get that one right, man. Like that's not a high ask for you to know what actual date it is.
Listen, you know, I like to live in the past, apparently. One day in the past.
Yeah, one to three.
Yesterday was a great day, and I just want to keep reliving it as much as I can. I actually cooked dinner last night for my wife. And yep. I did, it was a solid 5.5. You know,
what's your go-to meal? What can you cook?
I'm a spaghetti tortellini guy. Like, it's super easy to make. I can boil pasta with the best of them. I can pour it out of the jar. I can add like little things to it. Last night, she asked if I would make dinner, and we got the little impromptu endorsement here. Hello Fresh. We use Hello Fresh. Mm-hmm. And we did the meatloaf mashed potato thing. And I followed the directions to a T, and you could have drank the mashed potatoes. They were so runny. They were tasty. You know, but I mean, you could use them as a mouthwash if you wanted to. Apparently, you're not supposed to use all the water back in, I guess.
Mashed potato Slurpee. I like it. So you got any bold calls for us before we head out for the day here and for the 3-day weekend? Do you have any bold calls that are market related or otherwise? I mean, you can go anywhere from the market to the Indy 500. I don't care.
Indy 500, I don't know. My guess is we will be well over 6,000 before the end of June. That's my take. I think we'll be in that 6,000 to 6,100 range by end of June. We'll probably do a melt up to all-time highs. Not being the all-time high, I call it 6,145. Okay. I'm not saying we're going to go to 6,500. Okay. We might get to 6,175, 6,200 sometime in the summer before, you know, some likely August, September pullback that we always get every year. I'm sure this year we'll probably have to do a trade and tariffs or yields. But, you know, we're starting, you know, again, back to yields is, in all seriousness, is we get these, when the bond market wants to show its fangs, it does. It's that dog that just kind of sits there in the corner, doesn't make a lot of noise, and then it makes a lot of noise for a while and it shows its fangs, and we realize this is the biggest, gnarliest thing in the yard, okay? And we got to respect it. And the bond market reminded us of that these last week or so, especially with the Moody's downgrade. So we have to be cognizant, watch these yields, make sure it doesn't. And again, it started to pull back. It looks like this is sort of a, you know, kind of just a sell off based on what happened with Moody's, the downgrade. Here's the thing. It wasn't just the U.S. It happened in Japan too, right? Mm-hmm. Japan's the 30 year bond in Japan hit an all time high ever, 3.19%. That's very high for Japan. Same thing, and they have 40 year bonds over there. Same thing with the 40 year. Okay, so it was a global sell off. It was a global bond sell. You know, so it wasn't just the U.S. So we have to be cognizant to kind of watch that. Where is that momentum going? Is it starting to roll over? And it looks like, I think it probably will. Here's this thing: if I'm going to make a call, like the market's going to go up, what's going to take it there? I think yields coming down, lowering that discount rate. I think we'll start to see earnings revisions chill out and not, you know, we said this a few shows ago, they've stopped deteriorating, and they have. They're, you know, sitting at basically 263.5. They haven't changed at all for about the last 2 weeks. I know that's a popular thing they want to say on TV, that we're seeing these revisions down. I'm like, well, I'm looking at them and I'm not really seeing these big revisions that anyone else is saying. And I have the portals that you all have. So unless I forgot how to read numbers, you know, they're not expanding at all, but they're not caving in.
Yeah. So it sort of sounds like you're expecting a low volatility summer. But you're not. But that doesn't necessarily mean a sideways summer. You're seeing you're expecting maybe a low volatility, but a slow, gradual creep up as the temperatures rise. And then when you get to about August, September, that's when you could get your catalyst. Is that a fair summation?
Yeah, I'm expecting like an Oleksandr Usyk summer. He's that heavyweight boxer, or he's really, you know, he's good. He doesn't do too much. Sometimes his fights can be boring, but every once in a while, bam, right across the chin. And that's what I think we'll get. We'll get a relatively low volatility summer, but we'll get these spikes here and there. And it'll be based on trade negotiations not going exactly the way we all thought they would go, which, of course, in and of itself isn't a surprise. You gotta love the paradox, right?
Yeah. Expect the unexpected. And that's the thing. Like, it's easy to say, you know, we're going to expect the unexpected, and then the unexpected happens. We're like, oh my gosh, I didn't see that coming. And we kind of freak out a little bit. That's just sort of the human nature.
What do we say this year is going to be? The land of confusion, year of humility.
Yeah.
You just got to, you know, and it's proving itself out.
Yeah. Well, as always, if you're not a regular on the Intelligent Investment Show, Matt and I are here for your pure entertainment, educational, and amusement purposes only. We are not here to tell you what to do with your money. Matt gets a lot of wood on the ball on a pretty regular basis. He's a smart dude, and I appreciate you coming on and doing this. That being said, I mean, sometimes he can't even remember what day of the month it is, so do not take his word as the gospel by any means. If you would like investment advice, I encourage you to do one or two things: either seek your own financial professional or give Matt and his team a call at 702-655-8300, or you can also check them out at intelligentinvestment.com. Matt, happy and exciting Memorial Day to you. Any big plans for the weekend?
Our very close friends, their son's graduating from high school, so we're going to go. He's having a party. Also, my son, 8 years old, his team won the Little League Championship for our community in his age group. So there's a sort of a ceremony for them at the Las Vegas ballpark with the college players, and I get to walk the field with them. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And of course, being that it's Memorial Day, we do want to remember why it's Memorial Day, and our hearts go out to all of those families that have lost somebody, a loved one, and we wouldn't enjoy the freedoms. We wouldn't be able to do this show. We wouldn't have the economy that we have. We wouldn't have all these wonderful things that we have had it not been for all of those that sacrificed. So thank you.
Amen to that. And I think, I heard a stat of something like 1.3 million veterans have lost their lives fighting and for our freedom. And, this country, we do tend to forget and take for granted the freedoms that we do have here. I mean, if you're at the bottom of the totem pole in the United States, you're living better than about 90% of the rest of the country, probably. And it's easy to lose sight of that in this country. So definitely second that, echo that. Thanks to all the veterans out there. Thanks to all of our military for what you do. And happy Memorial Day to you and your family. That's exciting with your son's baseball team. That sounds like a fun time there. So congratulations. Thank you for your time always, a friend. See you next week. Enjoy the holiday.
See you next week.
Later. See you. As always, the Intelligent Investment Show is for your entertainment, education, and general amusement purposes only. It is not intended to be financial advice or investment advice of any kind. Neither Matt nor I or any of our companies or associated entities know anything about your financial circumstances, so it would be unwise for us to tell you what to do with your money. We encourage you to seek a professional if you do have questions about your portfolio or your financial plans. If you would like to reach Matt and his team, you may do so by giving him a call at 702-655-8300 or visiting intelligentinvestment.com. We thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time. Discussions in the Intelligent Investment Show are for educational purposes only. The information presented should not be considered specific investment advice or a recommendation to take any particular course of action. Always consult with a financial professional regarding your personal situation before making investment or financial decisions. The views and opinions expressed are based on current economic and market conditions and are subject to change. There is no guarantee that any statements of future expectations will come to fruition. All investing involves risk, including the potential for loss of principal. Securities offered through United Planners Financial Services, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through American Retirement Planning Group, ARPG, and United Planners are independent companies. Garrett Lill and Wealth Partners are not affiliated with ARPG or United Planners. Any endorsement that I may have given during this recording, it is important to note that I am not a client of ARPG. The views expressed should not be considered representative in any way of my past, present, or future experience with Matt or ARPG. No incentives have been provided to me in connection with any endorsements I may have given on the Intelligent Investment Show. Investing involves risk, and there is no guarantee of any future results, performance, or success.